And so this morning I want us to finish our study in the book of Jude. We're going to pick up in the last few verses of Jude. But before we do, I want us to pray together. Let's pray. Our Father, our hearts are heavy when we hear stories like Keisha. And Lord, we are so blessed. May we who are so blessed be moved in our hearts to share our blessings with those who have need. We pray for Omar, we pray for Shantaria, we pray for Trayvon. God, would you make a way for them? Would you provide? We pray for our dear sister Joyce. I pray, Father, that you would help her to eat and to heal and to grow stronger. We pray for her husband, Rafi. We pray for Jennifer as she cares for her mom. Help us to respond and show love to this family, to our sister in Christ. May our cards and our gift cards encourage them. I pray that they would feel our love. Now, Father, as we come to this lesson this morning, I just ask you, Father, to speak very personally to us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to say thanks to Bab. She's not here this morning. She's out of town, but she talked for me last week, and I appreciate that so much. But here we come this morning to the end of our 100-week study in the little book of Jude, written by the half-brother of Jesus. And the whole central message of the little letter is to address the issue of false apostate teachers who are embedded in the church. Now, we've been saying we're not talking specifically about our church, although we could have false teachers in our church. Yeah, that's a possibility. But mainly, when you think of Christianity in the world today, the church in the world today, so much apostasy has gotten embedded in the church. False teaching, false doctrine. And so certainly this is a problem in the church today. Now, the church today, I was thinking about this, it's very much like our nation in our present day. You see, I don't know about you, but I just get very frustrated over the fact that there are just thousands and thousands of illegal immigrants just entering into our country every day. That bothers me. We don't know who they are. We don't know if they're terrorists. We don't know anything about them. There's nobody stopping them, vetting them, making sure they're safe. They're just coming in. And if you're like me and I see those reports on TV of the border and how they're just coming in, thousands of them. And I think it's a serious problem because you know what? I mean, it only takes one person who is coming in who is a genuine terrorist to bring a great big deal of destruction in our country. And so I want you to take that thought and just think about the church. In the church, it's so important for us to take great pains to give much attention to make sure that the leadership in the church is a biblical leadership. Because if false leadership gets in place, that can result in a lot of destruction in the church. And I want you to just kind of think about false teachers embedded in the church. They're kind of the same as spiritual terrorists. And so in this little letter, Jude profiles them for us. And he says they've crept into our church. They're embedded in the church. They're also in seminaries. They're on campuses of Christian colleges. They're writing Christian books. They're on Christian TV stations. They're on Christian media, and they can bring great destruction to the church. And so they operate best in a church that is very gullible, a church that is tolerant, a church where the Christians are immature and not spiritually grounded. And Jude is calling the church to wake up to the reality of their presence and to the reality of their danger. And he's calling us to get involved in the war on spiritual terrorism. Now, in order to help us, he profiles them. He gives us their characteristics. Let me just remind you of what we saw about them. We said they are immoral, they're not under authority, and they're greedy. They love money, and they're very worldly minded, and they're lustful, they're licentious, they're lawless, insubordinate. He uses the word defiled, rebellious, materialistic, self-centered, shameless, proud, sensual, and then he just says they're devoid of the Holy Spirit altogether. And they have a very bad theology that they teach. They deny the Lord as Lord and Master because they're their own Lord and Master. They're their own boss. And they may fake honoring Jesus, but in reality, in their life, they deny him by the way they live. And Jude is telling us we cannot afford to be gullible or witless in the church. We don't want to just open our arms and embrace them in and accept them. And this letter is a call to the reality that we're going to have to deal with spiritual terrorists in every generation. Every generation has this problem. And so all the way down through verse 16, Jude has been profiling for us these spiritual terrorists. But when you come to verse 17, and now I'm going to review my last week's lesson a little bit, everything shifts in his letter. Up until now in the letter, the main pronoun has been the pronoun these. Now look at verse 4. He identifies them there. He calls them certain persons who have crept in unaware, unnoticed. And then he refers to them in verse 8. He calls them these men in verse 10, these men in verse 11, they in verse 12, these men in verse 14, these in verse 16, these. And he makes one more comment about them that we'll see this morning in verse 19. He calls them these. But when you come to verse 17, the pronoun changes. And look at verse 17 with me. He says there, but you, beloved. And now everything in the letter shifts. Now we're going to see how it is that we are to respond. How are we to react? How are we going to survive? How are we going to win the war on spiritual terrorism? And in our last lesson together before my trip on June the 2nd, we saw some things that we are to do. Let's just remind ourselves and let's write them down. Number one, we are to remember something here. And that is that we are to remember that the apostles said they would come. Now look at verse 17. But you, beloved, ought to remember the words that were spoken beforehand by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, that they were saying to you, in the last time there will be mockers following after their own ungodly lust. These are the ones who cause divisions, they're worldly-minded, and they're devoid of the Spirit. Now he's actually quoting an apostle in these verses. He is quoting 2 Peter 3:3. That's who he's telling us. So when you realize that, yeah, apostasy is a huge problem in the church today, and I think you would agree with me, it is. Well, am I just going to let that throw me for a loop? God, does that mean you're not in control? I mean, what's going on here? Should I be worried? And he says, now look, Just let me remind you, the apostle said, this is how it's going to be, and you should expect it. Don't let it blindside you. Don't let it unsettle you. Instead, wake up and become alert. Be looking for it, and you be ready to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered. We don't have any excuse for being unaware, because we've been told by the apostles that this was going to happen. They were coming, and we don't have any excuse. We need to earnestly contend. We need to unmask them for the protection of the church. Now, that was the first thing we saw. Number two, here comes the second thing. You've got to build yourselves up on your most holy faith. That comes in verse 20. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith. Now, what does that mean, Teresa? That means this. You're going to have to be a woman of God's word. You're going to have to take it in. You're going to have to be strong in the word. You're going to have to become mature. You're going to have to build up your own spiritual muscles. You're going to have to be strong in the faith. That means you're going to have to put yourself under the teaching of the word of God. That means you got to come to Sunday school. I just had to say that. Here's number three. He adds this in verse 20, praying in the Holy Spirit. Not only are you going to be strong in God's word, but you're going to also be a woman of prayer. You're going to live a life of prayer and a life of God's word. And here's number four. I'm just moving quickly. We've already covered these. Number four, keeping yourselves, verse 21, in the love of God. And what does that mean, Teresa? How do I keep myself in the love of God? Very simply, it just means this. Be obedient. Be obedient. Now just imagine a big circle, and that circle is the love of God. Well, I certainly want to stay in the love of God, don't you? I don't want to get outside that circle. You know how I'm going to keep myself in the love of God? I'm going to study the word. I'm going to be a woman of prayer. And I'm going to be obedient. That's what that is saying. And then number five, look for his second coming. And look at the verse. It says, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. That means I am not going to let myself get bogged down in this world. You know what? This world is passing away. It is not eternal. It's not going to be my focus. I'm going to look up. I'm going to live according to the truth that the Lord is coming back. And what matters is me, for me, is to live for him. So we learned last time, how am I going to survive in an atmosphere of apostasy? Well, I'm going to get built up and strong in the Word of God. I'm going to be a woman of prayer. I'm going to obey the Word. And I'm going to live in the light of the future that the Lord is coming back. And that is faith, hope, and love. These things make us strong. And if you have a church that's growing in the Word of God, a church that is committed to prayer, a church that is living in obedience to God's commands, a church that is truly anticipating the second coming of Jesus, this is a church where apostates will not survive, because that is a mature church. It's a church that is discerning. It is a church that we want to be. We've got to be faithful to the things that we know that are true. Now that brings us this morning to the final verses of this little book. We're going to go now to verse 22. And this is where we're going to pick up. But let's write it on our handout first. What are we to do next, Teresa? Well, write it down. We are to reach out. We are to reach out. And the other elements that we've seen previously to this, there are offensive weapons, but now comes something that's very defensive. You see, since the world is dominated by false teachers and false religions, and since apostates are in the church everywhere, then you and I have this responsibility for evangelism. I wish Gina was here this morning. I would point her out. And there are three kinds of people that Jude really, really wants us to reach out to. Let's see who they are. Number one, write it on your handout. We're going to reach out to those who are doubting, the doubters. Now, in the Greek, that word really means confused. Confused. We're going to reach out to the doubters, to those who are confused. And this is how Jude says it here in verse 22. He says, and have mercy on some who are doubting. These are people, and we know them, they're open. They're open to the gospel. They're open to God. They're open to coming to faith. They're curious. They're listening. They're easy to talk to. They want to hear. They're the perfect target for a false teacher who's winsome and who has a tongue that's silver and can come in with his lies. I was speaking with a lady recently, and she and I were friends from high school. We're the same age. And there was one particular man in our class who went on to become in the ministry. And I can only tell you, he's an apostate. You know how I know? He's immoral. That's number one. He's not under authority himself. That's number two. And number three, he's greedy for money. All three of those marks are all over his ministry. And she and I were talking about it. She was like, it's so sad how he has this influence out there over so many people. And he's an apostate. And yet he's writing books, he's doing all of these things, and he has this ministry and this influence, and people who are gullible get sucked in. And so what am I to do about people like that? Well, I am to come to them with mercy. I'm to have pity. I'm to have sympathy. I'm to come to them with the truth of God, and I am to help them to come to the truth. You know, there might just be a tendency for me to say, oh, poor them, just ignore them. I'm not going to have anything to do with them. I'm just going to abandon them. No, I've got to have a kindness welling up in my heart and compassion. I've got to go the extra mile to get the truth to them because they're vulnerable and they're weak. And they are the very ones false teachers will go to first. They're not open only to the truth, but look, they're wide open in error. Error can get them as well. And they're easily influenced. And the seduction comes to them in many ways. Perhaps it's a book they pick up to read, or perhaps it's a TV program, or a podcast, or a church. I remember one time I was with Bill on a trip, and I was visiting with a banker's wife from Wisconsin. Her name was Rosie, and she was just a lovely lady. And she was a believer, but she was not in a strong church, and she was not strong in her faith. She was very sweet. And she was open to truth, but she was also very gullible. And she loved her dad. And I remember visiting with her on one particular trip, and her dad had died. And I said, I'm so sorry, Rosie, about your dad. And she was telling me how she loved her dad. But then she just lit up because she heard on TV a man. It was like a talk show. And this man was a medium, and you could talk to the dead through him, and it just fascinated her. And she, he had written a book, and she bought the book because she wanted so badly to communicate with her daddy. And I just had to tell her, oh, Rosie, you don't want to touch that. That's demonic. That's no place for someone who believes in God to go. And, you know, we just visited during that. But you see what I'm talking about. She was very vulnerable. She was very open, very sweet, very shallow in her knowledge of God's word. Easily influenced, easily confused, not rooted. And if you don't get under godly teaching of doctrine, you're very open to being caught up in wrong teaching and being led astray. So you want to go to them with mercy, Jude says. Bring them back. And that's our responsibility. We're not to write them off. We're not. We're to reach out. Now let's go to a second group that Jude mentions. Look with me in verse 23. Snatch others, save others, Jude says, snatching them out of the fire. So put that on your handout. You're going to go actually to the fire, and you're going to reach in that fire, and you're going to snatch people out of the fire. How about that? Now our work gets a little tougher, because it's easy to go to someone who's open, someone who listens, but now we've gone from Operation Mercy to Operation Rescue, okay? And so these are people, they're already in the fire of false belief. They're convinced they're okay. They've bought the enemy's lies. And this is very vivid imagery here. Jude says, don't turn your back on them. No, no, no. You just go right to the fire with the truth of the gospel, and you snatch them out. And you do it boldly, and you do it courageously. This is exactly what Jesus did with the scribes and the Pharisees. He came to them in a very confrontive way. He was blunt with severe warnings, giving them severe warnings, promises of judgment. See, you don't come to these kinds of people and toy around. You come boldly. And you come with the truth. And with your truth, you smash their false ideologies. You seek to set them free. Now, that's going to require a little more courage on our part. Let's see the third group. Go back to verse 23 for the third group. Have mercy on some with fear, he says, hating even the garment that is polluted by the flesh. You have to understand that when you get involved with those who need to be saved, it gets messy, doesn't it? And it can even have a little element of danger to it. He warns you, listen, you even hate the garment polluted by the flesh. Now, the idea here is this. You've got to be very careful that as you're going out, you don't get sucked in and corrupted by their evil in the process. You don't go and get all intimate and accepting with people who are living in blatant sin. Yes, you go. Yes, you take the gospel. But you've got to have a very healthy fear of sin. And he's using very graphic language here. And I just learned this, and it just blew me away. Because look at that verse again. The word for garment there. In the Greek, that is not a word speaking of the outer garment. That is a word speaking of underwear. And so you're going to be most careful as you try your hardest to bring mercy to some, as you go, despising even the polluted underwear. You would never pick up someone's filthy underwear, would you? So you don't get too close in that you would get defiled in the process. You see, evangelism is necessary. That's what our calling is. This is the offensive that Jude is telling us. It's got to be personal. It's serious business, but you do it very carefully and you do it skillfully. And so you evangelize with discernment, with prayer, with caution, and you just have to be so very, very careful. And this is a great challenge for us. And yet, this is our calling. Now, are you thinking this morning, oh, Teresa, I don't know. I'm really good at teaching the Bible, but I am not good at evangelizing. I get very timid when it comes to snatching somebody out of the fire or going to somebody in their sin. I'm just not good at it. You know why? Because it's risky. It's scary. Sometimes I'm just kind of afraid. I love staying with my holy four and no more, don't you? I don't want to get too close to the fire. I'm afraid I'm going to get defiled by that garment. What if I stumble? What if I fail? Will I fall if I go out and evangelize? I'll just make a big mess of it. Do you ever feel like that? And so Jude closes this letter with one. To me, it's one of the most beautiful benedictions in all of the Bible. It may be my very favorite benediction in all of the Bible. Let's just read it together. I'm going to make a few comments. Jude says, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen." You know, we find ourselves living in a time of unlimited access to information. We are exposed to more lies, more deceptions than any other generation in the history of the world. Is God really able to keep us safe? Is God really able to keep us from falling? And so the first thing we see in this benediction is this, and I want you to write it down. Just some points that I want you to think about with me this morning. Let them land on your heart. Number one, he is able. He has infinite power. No doubt about it. Our God is able. Even though as we're on our pilgrimage, we're on our journey, we're here and we're headed toward our heavenly home. And you know, that road is filled with stumbling blocks. There are temptations. There are literally demons out there with schemes against us. And they're invisible. No matter what they are, I'm safe because God is able. He has the ability. It's all about his ability, not my ability. And even though our enemy would ambush us, we don't have to fear. And here's why. Because he is able to keep us. And so write that down. He is able to keep us. Now that word keep, it means in the Greek to guard or watch over. He's able to guard you. Sisters, he is able to watch over you. He will keep you. It's a military word. You're safe. And not only that, write this down. He will keep you from falling. He is able to keep you from falling. You know what's so interesting about that word falling here? It is a Greek word that's used no other place in the Bible. And it is the actual word for apostasy. He is able to keep you away from apostasy. He will hang on to you. I want to show it to you in John 10. Look there with me on your handout. "And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." This is Jesus talking here. He goes on to say, "My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." I just want to say to you this morning, if you're his, he will never, ever let you go. And then another verse I love, Philippians 1:6. Look at it. "He," that would be God, who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. Let me just say, what he starts in you, he completes. He's able to do that. He has the will and he has the power to perfect us. And then it says he's able to make us stand in the presence of his glory. So write that for number four. He will make us stand. I don't make myself stand. He makes me to stand. I can confidently say, I will not fall, because he's making me to stand. And not only that, he'll make me stand not on this earth only, but I'm going to stand in the presence of his glory. So write that down next. And not only that, I'm going to stand in the presence of his glory. And this one's going to make me do a holy dance. Blameless. Isn't that good news? Without fault. And I'm going to stand there with great joy. With great joy. And we can rest and join the celebration together of verse 25. Let's look at it as we close. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, authority before all time, now and forever. Amen. Now, think about this doxology, this benediction. And go from this lesson this morning, spend some time in it. Let it cause your heart to worship him. Now, I'm hoping the result of this study, it's going to make us be wise women who earnestly contend for the faith. We don't want to be naive. We want to be strong, courageous, and bold. And we want to go out from here having mercy and evangelizing those in our world. Amen. That's the challenge of this study. Now let's pray together. Our Father, thank you for this book that has been placed in the New Testament for us. It's as if it's the very book we need living in our day, when there are so many spiritual terrorists all around us, God. And yet all we need to do is be strong in your word, be women of prayer, be obedient, keeping ourselves in the love of God, and going out and sharing our faith. Very simple commands. So, Father, make us women who do these very things. Thank you for our class. Thank you for this time where we come to get built up in our holy faith as we study your word together. Pray your blessing on every family in this room. And I just ask you, Father, to make us women who are wise women who know how to earnestly contend for the faith. And we just pray you'll speak through Brother Greg as we leave this room and we go to worship. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'll see you next week. We'll start a new study. You're going to have to come to find out what it is.